Last week, as you remember, we was talking about Gideon. We're going to continue speaking about him today and look at some things. I think he's very well known for how God used him and 300 of the Israelites to defeat the Midianites. He also is well known, and that's kind of what we're going to get into today, for the fleece that he put out to the Lord. And I don't think we had read that portion of Scripture, so I'm going to go ahead and do that. We're in the sixth chapter. Sorry if I didn't tell you that. Sixth chapter. Bible says in verse 36, "And Gideon said unto God, If thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow, and thrust the fleece together, and wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, Let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all the ground. Let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground." If you remember, we had discussed, and it won't take a lot of time to go back, but we had talked about Gideon and his obedience to the Lord as far as tearing down the altar that his father had. He tore down the altar. He cut down the groves that God had instructed him to cut down. We discussed the fact that there's a lot of times we can have influence upon our family and upon other people by our actions, by our standing fast on the things of God. And we found out that as Gideon went and did this, and of course the altar was on his daddy's property, and after he did this, it caused his dad to make a stand. His dad stood up for Gideon and against Baal, and even said, "You know, if Baal is a god, then let Baal do something about it." And there was the principle there that it's good for us to stand for the things of God. It does have influence upon other people. We discussed also the fact that our beliefs that we have and the words we speak, it's much better. They have more strength if we back up our words with actions. If we don't do that, people is not going to really believe what we say if we don't then live according to what we say. And then, of course, we look at Gideon, and as you watch him from the very beginning, from the very time that the Lord came and spoke with him, you see him growing in his faith. You see Gideon, and I think one of the reasons, of course, we see him, first of all, we see him meeting the Lord face to face. That's what every one of us needs to do. We do that when we come to know Christ as our personal Savior. We come to know him, we become his. And after that, Gideon went ahead and he obeyed God. When God told him to go and cut down the altars, he obeyed God. And he did what God said to do. That's the next step. When we come to know Christ, we should obey him. Simply, it's a great thing when we know Christ as our Savior, then we ought to obey him in baptism. We ought to step forth and begin to walk with him. And then, of course, we find next in verse number 34, we says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and Abiezer was gathered after him. And here we see the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. He met God, he obeyed God, and the Spirit of God came upon him. And that when it talks about coming upon him, I think it's where I ended last week. We talked about that statement, that coming upon him, speaks of almost like a coat being put on. something that just was put on Gideon. The Spirit of God came. And again, I might say to you, we can't get anything done without the Spirit of God and the power of the Spirit of God in our life. And that's why Gideon now was prepared to go forth serve the Lord. Abiezer, which it says was gathered unto him, he blew the trumpet. He was asking for help. He was going to go face the Midianites. And that word speaks of the people of Gideon. It means father of help. Father of help. And I thought to myself, you know, they were the first one to respond. They were the first ones to come and join with Gideon. And I thought how always our Heavenly Father is always the first to come to help us when we call upon the Lord. There's a verse of scripture that I love very much. It's in Psalms 121, where he talks about, he says, I will lift up my eyes unto the Lord, from which cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Now, I don't know how many times I've said this to people, but you know, God says your help comes from the Lord. You call upon him, and he will help you. And then he says, I made heaven and earth. How can you get any greater help than that? Someone who made heaven, who made earth. Many times in a hospital, I'll just kind of mention to them, you know, God made heaven and earth. He's your helper. If he made heaven and earth, he certainly has no problem dealing with this problem you have. That's our God. That's how great God is. And so he's the first one always that we should depend upon. And then we find in Psalms 33:10, it says, our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Again, I guess I just want you to trust in God. Realize that he is your help. He's your shield. He's the one we can call upon. When no one else can help, he's the one. And he will. And over in Psalms 46, he said, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's our refuge, he's our strength, and he's a help in the time of trouble. See, Gideon was getting ready to go into some battle. It was a difficult time, and he needed the help of the Lord. So we see here Gideon really growing in his faith. You don't become a strong, secure Christian overnight. It's a lifetime thing to grow in the Lord, and we see Gideon doing this. But as we come down to the point of where he begins to use this fleece, we notice something. Gideon here was not struggling here with trying to find out and to know what the will of God was. Many times I've heard people say, you know, Gideon put out a fleece to find out what the will of God was. That's not what he put that fleece out. And I want to show you that. That had nothing to do with it. Gideon already knew what God wanted him to do. You look at verse 36. He says, and Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said. He said, God, you've said you will save Israel. He knew exactly what God wanted him to do. We find in verse 37, he says, I know that thou wilt, at the end of it, I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand as thou hast said. So the problem was not knowing what the will of God was. The problem was in accepting and believing that God would do what he said he would do. And let me say to him, God had spoken. If you would look in verse 12, let's go back there. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. He tells him, the Lord is with him. Look at verse 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Look at verse 16. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. See, the problem was not that Gideon was not assured of what God had said. He was doubting. He was struggling. God, are you sure you will do exactly what you said you would do? And so he uses the fleece to try to get God to prove to him and show to him that he really would do what he said. And now, you and I know this, but we've got to remember, when God speaks, it's truth. We don't have to question. Once God speaks in his word, we do not have to question. He told Gideon here at least three different times, Gideon, I'm going to be with you. I'm the one sending you. And Gideon comes along, if God, you really are, want me to be the one that goes and takes care of the Midianites, then will you do this about the fleece? Once let the dew be upon the fleece. He wrung out a bowl of water. The next time let the fleece be dry and the ground around it be wet. And God did. He went ahead and did exactly what Gideon had asked. But let me say to you, I do want to take a little bit of time this morning, and I want to look at knowing the will of God. As we deal with young people, a lot of times we'll talk to them about the will of God for their life. And that is a wonderful thing. That's a good thing. And we need to seek and find out what direction God wants us to go. But I believe something. I believe also there's a wonderful will of God for every day of our life. I believe that we need to know the will of God today, the rest of the day, and what he wants. And I've found in the Word of God that there's just a way to know that. And I'm going to try to take some time here this morning and go through that and try to be a help and encouragement to you. In fact, let's go over, first of all, to the book of Psalms, the 32nd Psalm. I want to take just a little bit here and kind of go over this. We'll try not to spend too much time, but this is a wonderful, wonderful psalm. It's meant so much to me down through my life. And what is happening here is David, of course, this was written after Psalm 51, and it was after David's sin. And so David comes along, and he talks about how blessed it is whose transgressions is forgiven, whose sin is covered. He is saying it's a wonderful thing to have that sin behind me, to have it done, to have it forgiven. He said, boy, blessed is he. In other words, happy is that man that has that sin forgiven and cleansed. And then he says, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. He talks about how wonderful it is to not have the sin that he committed imputed unto him. But instead of imputed unto him, it was forgiven him. And so then David begins to explain how this took place. And the reason I want to take time to do this, because when we talk about knowing the will of God, there's some principles we need to understand. God expects us to be right with him. Now let me explain this, because there's not a person sitting here or standing or is even present in this church today that is ever going to obtain perfection. It is not going to happen. Only Jesus is perfect. And we're going to have our times and our troubles. We're going to have those. I don't care who you are. But what I'm saying is those times should not be things that linger in our life. They should be taken care of and they should be forgiven. And I believe on a daily basis. I don't know how you pray. It doesn't. That's between you and the Lord. But I know the first prayer that I do, and whenever I begin to talk to the Lord, I begin to tell him how good he is and how wonderful he is, and I speak about his greatness and how he's long-suffering and loving and kind and good and gracious and merciful, and I talk to him about those things, and so I talk about his holiness. But the next thing I do is I talk about my unworthiness. Now, I'm just telling you what I do, because I am unworthy. I'm unworthy even to be a child of God. So I talk to him about my unworthiness and the fact that I haven't done things right that day. There's things that I know I could have been better in. Sometimes they're the sins of omission. Sometimes they're the sins of commission. But I always ask God to forgive me and cleanse me in the blood of Jesus. Now, I'm just telling you what I do, because I want to be that day, I want to be right with God. I want to be on praying ground. And God has promised me that he would forgive me and he would cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He's promised me that if I would confess. Okay? Now, David, I know David, it was a real wicked sin that David had to deal with. But if you'll notice, the reason he dealt with, was being dealt with by God, was because he kept silent. And that is said so in the next verse. He said, I kept silent. So what I'm saying to you is, you say, Brother Austin, I have to be perfect to have my prayers answered, to have God answer and guide me and direct me. No, you don't have to be perfect, but you sure have to be confessed up. You have to ask for forgiveness and cleansing, and God has promised to do that, has he not? But if we hide iniquity in our heart, what does the Bible say? He will not hear us. So what David was hiding iniquity in his heart. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm encouraging you, don't hide iniquity in your heart. We'll see what David did here. Look in verse 3. He says, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. David was saying, because of my sin, I did not confess it, I did not bring it before God. He said, even my body functions, I was physically hurting and downtrodden because I kept silent. So it can affect you physically. Okay? Sin that is there unconfessed can affect us physically. Now here's what he says. For day and night my hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Here he's talking about his spiritual condition. He said that he was day and night. He said the hand of God was heavy upon him. It was just like this. It was like God was just pushing his hand down on him. And that's the way he lived, day and night. And he felt the pressure of God upon him. That's what I talk about when I believe what is happening is, it's conviction that is happening to David. David is being convicted. Now, I'm saying this to you. You and I need to understand that we're no different than David. God deals with us like he dealt with David. If there's sin in our life and we have refused to acknowledge it, there's going to be the heavy hand of God upon us. And that's conviction of the Holy Spirit of God is going to be upon us about that sin. You understand that? You believe that? All right. Well, that's what was happening to David. David's given us his experience, what happened to him. And so we then see what David did. He said, I might go back there just a moment. When we're in that condition, we are not spiritually strong. We're not going to be a good witness. We're not going to testify about the Lord. We're not going to do those things. Why? As he said, the moisture is turned into the drought of summer. He said, spiritually, I was all dried up. Okay? That's what his condition was. And then in verse number 5, he said, what did he do then? David said, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. He's talking about to God. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. See what David did? David said he acknowledged it. He said, I didn't hide it from God. I acknowledged it, and he said, I confessed my transgressions unto the Lord. And he said, God forgave me. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? You see, I think on a smaller scale, though, that's what we ought to do every day. We ought to, maybe it is not no great big sin, but any sin is against the Lord. And we ought to every day ask God's forgiveness for those things. Sometimes we don't even realize what we've done. Sometimes we may have hurt somebody's feelings and never realized it. But we need to ask God, so why? So we can be forgiven and cleansed. Okay? And here's what David said. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. What was happening here, David was now coming back to a good relationship. He was being restored unto the relationship he ought to have with God. And he says, thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Shalah. And then he says in verse 8, and this is what I was wanting to get to. And God says, now, David, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. You see, that's a promise of God. I think I've told you this many times, but that's a prayer that I pray every day. I should say, maybe there's been a day I haven't, but there'll be very few days in my life that I have not asked God to instruct me and teach me in the way which I should go, to guide me with his eye. Now, God, and why? Because I'm claiming the promise of God. But you got to remember something. Should not we, like David, come to the place of cleansing and forgiving, and then where God can say, okay, son, I'll guide you today. I'll instruct you today. Don't you think that David had to get to that place where sin was forgiven and cleansed? Not talking about being perfect, folk. You're not perfect, but you ought to be perfectly cleansed. And I ought to too, right? So I'm encouraging you, don't be afraid to go to God and confess the things in your life that are not right. He knows about them anyway. He knows them, you and I, better than we do. He knows all about them. You're not fooling him. So why don't we go to him and confess these things, get them right, and then we can also claim, God, would you instruct us today? Guide us today. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm saying, I believe something. I just believe that God wants to every day of our life instruct us and teach us in the way we should go that day, and to guide us with his eye. I just believe that. Now I'm going to go over to the book of Ephesians, and I'm kind of give you some ideas of how God does this. I wish I had just a little more time. I'm sure I'm not going to get all of this in. But Ephesians, the 5th chapter, 17th verse. And he says, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, maybe you never think this, but sometimes I think people think that God wants to hide his will from us. And we really have to go out and search for it and seek it. I don't believe that. I believe God wants us. He says to be wise, to know what the will of God is. I believe God wants us to know on a daily basis what the will of the Lord is for that day. I just believe it. And it's interesting because immediately after that, and we'll look at this if we have time, but immediately after that verse of scripture, you see he says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. He connects the knowing, the being wise, and the knowing the will of God for our life with being filled with the Spirit of God. Because we're going to find out it's the Spirit of God that is our guide. He guides us, and he will not lead us wrong. And he wants you and I to know from day to day, even the very smallest items, the smallest things in our life, God wants us to know. If we go skip over to John, 16th chapter. The 13th verse. 16th chapter. Okay, he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whosoever he shall hear, whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He will glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Now the principle is, there's no doubt whatsoever here, Jesus is talking about here that the Spirit of God is going to teach us about Jesus Christ and the things to come. There's no doubt. But why would I think that he's not going to do the same thing with my everyday life? The Spirit of God is there to teach me and to lead me and to guide me and to show me what I need to do that day and where I need to be. That may be small items, that may not be a whole life, but I want to tell you something. I believe the Spirit of God wants to guide every single one of us today in everything that we do. And I just believe that. And let me share with you real quick. I'm running out of time, but go over with me to Psalms 119. Psalm 119, verse 105, very familiar verse of scripture. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You see what he's saying is that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, uses the word of God to guide our path. Let me just use an illustration, probably could be a better one, but let me say I was out today and I was trying to decide if I should go into the movie hall. And what would the Word of God say to me? Abstain from even the appearance of evil, Brother Ross. There'd be people out there that if you went into that movie and saw that movie, would see you go in and be hurt in their faith. So I'm to abstain from all appearances of evil. I also could look to the book of Psalms and find out that God says in his Word, David said it, I will set no evil thing before me. Now, what I'm saying to you is simply this. The Word of God will guide us. Through the Spirit of God, we'll use the Word of God. I do not have to ask, well, should I go and see that movie? I do not have to even ask that question because the Word of God has already spoken for me. Do you understand? You understand that the Word of... See, he uses the Word of God. That's why you need to be in your Bibles. That's the reason you need to understand what the Bible says, because it will guide us in every area of our life. Understand? You see, there's more to this, and I don't have time. We'll try to get it again. But folks, listen. The Spirit of God is your guide. And he uses the Word of God to guide you. And there's something else he does, we'll try to get into it next week, that gives us a precious, sweet peace of God when we're going the right direction. Okay? Father, thank you again today for your goodness, your kindness. Thank you for Jesus. Looking for him to come. In Jesus' name, amen.